Hello and good day, everyone. Kevin Finkel here with another episode of Magic, the First Pioneers. This is a podcast all about the Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I'm joined by my co-host and a recurring guest.
Yeah, so I'm Ryan, the Tokyo zombie, because it's always early in the morning when I'm doing this.
And I'm Harry 13, back again. Known Magic Online player and grinder, here to give you some metagame updates.
Yeah, you know, if Harry's here, you know we're going to be talking about the metagame. We're going to be seeing what's been changing because, you know, we got a whole new format dropped. We haven't had a real episode where we've sat down and said, okay, this is the updates to the meta. These are the new decks in the format. These are the things to look out for. You know, we'd like to always do that, keep you up to date, especially for competitive players. Keep an eye on what's going on. Maybe you've been away from the format for a little while. It's a good chance to jump in and see what's happening. And, you know, our timing with this, I think we gotta call it out right away, is that we've had announcement there will be changes to the ban list coming on Monday. In our last episode, we talked about why those changes probably will not be anything coming off the ban list. So, probably what we're expecting is that there will be some kind of ban, something to shake up this format. So we want to talk with that in mind, as well as maybe we'll talk what our predictions are at some point in this episode.
Yeah. And I remember...
Does that sound good, guys?
I was going to say the last time we had... should I say Harry or Martin? Which is
Harry's perfectly fine.
Okay, Harry. So, yeah. So last time we had you on, we were kind of talking about the technical side of Pioneer and how to play against certain decks, and we focused a lot on companions. But since then, there's been a big change in the companion rule where you have to pay 3 mana to get it into your hand before you can play it. And I thought that'd be like a good starting point before we jump into like the M21 information. Can you talk a little bit about the Pioneer meta change in that last month or so after they changed the companion rule?
Yeah, definitely. So I think what happened initially is immediately after the bans, people were still trying to figure out if nerfing of the companions was strong enough. So people were still playing Yorion, Luris with the nerf, playing almost like the same 75. People quickly figured out that the nerf was real and it really had an impact, especially in Luris Burn. It just really took away that reach those decks had. And prior to the banning, there was a lot of people playing Esper Yorion, and I think people played that because it had a positive matchup against Inverter, and then shortly after that, it felt that had completely changed, because you couldn't curve into Yorion, and the matchup felt more favoured from the Inverter side going forward. So after the initial, you know, people still having their toes in the water with the companions, I think people then decided to default back to the metagame before companions were released. And then from that, there was a new deck that came out that looked very spicy at first, and then it was made apparent that the deck was very powerful, and that's the Naya Winota deck, which can have some insane draws, insane starts, and that's been quite popular after the companion change. But for me, it looks like how the meta was prior to the companions. So decks like Blue Red and Soul Artifact have came back. Sultai Delirium has been a lot more powerful. Again, that's made a resurgence. Mono Black, that basically went away because it could just never keep up with the companion card advantage. And one of the main reasons, or, you know, one of the main appeals to that deck is it's very grindy, but it just couldn't keep up with, like, the power level of Yorion, or, you know, it couldn't keep up with the reach that the burn deck had with Luris. So now that the companions have been nerfed, that deck has made a resurgence, and as well as Mono Black Vampires as well. That's been an interesting one. So I think the metagame right now is, it looks pretty similar prior to the companions being printed. However, there are some nice new decks out there as well.
So basically, the only ones that survived were Yorion and Luris then?
Yes.
Like the only companions?
So yes. So
yeah, that's pretty safe to
say. Esper Yorion is still played. I know a few players that still play it. And it's, you know, it's still a powerful deck. It's still got some very powerful planeswalkers. And Yorion, regardless, is a very good card to have access to. Luris is occasional. Funnily enough, Luris is mostly played now in Lotus Breach, which is quite funny, because I don't think when they created this card, they intended it to be in a combo control deck, you know?
Yeah, I think that's pretty true as well. So I wanted to dig a little deeper into some of the points you made, kind of as headers. Now, one thing I kind of want to start with is that you called out, you know, we've got Mono Black, we've got Mono Black Vampires. Both of them existed a little bit before the companions came and went, and they're both now existing afterwards. Is there a strong reason to go one versus the other now, and has anything changed? And then kind of the same question, we've got Mono Red Aggro now, but we also do see a little bit of Luris Burn. Is there a big reason to go one versus the other? Are you saying Luris Burn is just bad, or... I don't know, just if you wanted to expand on either of those topics
Do. So one of the main reasons people decided to play Vampires over Mono Black was the traditional build of Inverter. We're seeing a resurgence, as we all would have expected. And, you know, Vampires has got is very resilient to a lot of the things that Inverter is trying to do. Like I always say, the more difficult matchups for Inverter are the matchups where you're forced to lead with Jace as opposed to Inverter of Truths. Those are matchups where your opponent has a lot of disruption, hand attack, and, you know, and then leading with Jace, you're more vulnerable because Jace can get, you know, murderous ridered or, you know, attacked down. So any matchup where you're kind of forced to not use the combo game one can be more challenging. And I think that the card advantage that Dust, the 5-mana Dust Legion, I can't remember what it's called.
Dusk Legion's Legionnaire.
Yeah, because the combination of Sorin, Imperious Bloodlord, with the 5-mana draw X cards for a number of vampires, it's almost like a combo in itself. And at the time, this was just before M21, your only spell that you could deal with Sorin was Hero's Downfall. So your draws just didn't line up very well against vampires. I ended up figuring out that playing a Shark Typhoon in the board was actually very good, because you don't even use it for its cycling effect, you use it as an alternative win con, because I found that against the Vampires deck, they would try and prison you out the game. You know, they'd have like multiple Cranial Extraction type cards to name your win cons. So what would end up happening is you'd have this grindy match, but I found that once you landed the Shark Typhoon, they could not beat you because you were just gaining such incremental advantage from the shark tokens that you would just grind them out and win that way. But I think that...
Okay, so real quick, I just want to touch, you know, you're saying like Thoughtseize backing it up with more removal with Wiz Hit the Hand. So what makes the Mono Black Vampires better than Mono Black Aggro playing things like the Scrap Heap Scrounger, maybe going up to... What are their 3 and 4 drops now? Still like Rankle, Murderous Rider, those kind of things?
I think the threats overall are quite anemic. You know, you're playing a bunch of 2/1s and, you know, Scrap Heap Scourger. There was a lot of graveyard hate because of Breach. The thing about the Mono Black Vampires deck is it's unaffected by graveyard hate. I think I remember there being a lot of graveyard hate earlier on post rotation or post nerf of the companions. I think that was one of the main reasons. Now, because Uro was very much front of mind for a lot of players, as well as Lotus Breach was quite heavily played, so people were, you know, and, you know, having Luris just in the format, people were sideboarding aggressively graveyard hate cards. So now that people have started to cut copies of graveyard removal, people are slowly coming back to mono black. I've played against it quite a lot now, probably more so than vampires.
Did we talk about burn and Lurrus burn yet? Or sorry, mono red and Lurrus burn
no.
yet?
No. Oh, happy to move over to that. So, yeah. So kind of the same question is what makes one stronger than the other? Is there a strictly better, or is it depend on, you know, you kind of pointed out if there's graveyard hate, it's probably better to just go vampires. Is there anything as easy to call out, it's better to go Lurrus when you've got...
Yes, so I think the overall the threats in Lurrus burn are, again, it's kind of similar to the points made about mono black, is the threats are quite vulnerable, they're quite weak. Normally you find in a lot of matchups your threats plus burn spells isn't enough, especially, you know, you've got very powerful cards like Uro in the format and cards like that. Lurrus was just a very, very powerful way to give this low to the ground burn deck, because if you look at cards like Gitu Lavamancer and Virashino Pyromancer, they're not very strong at their own rate. So they were depending upon Lurrus to, you know, get one or two creatures back, like an Eidolon back, just to get you over the edge. From experience of playing Lurrus burn, a lot of the matchups were close when the companion was in the format, but what made the deck so powerful was you always just had this little bit of reach to get over the edge. Now that Lurrus is effectively, you know, a blank, taking a turn off to, you know, put Lurrus into your hand is often too late, and your opponent can stabilize at that moment. Whereas the mono red deck, you have very powerful creatures. You know, you've got your Legion War Boss, your Goblin Ravel Master. These cards, if you don't answer them for a turn, can just take over the game, and the deck curves out very well and can play a good mid-range and late game, whereas the Lurrus burn deck now struggles with.
So, and those are particularly hard threats for something like the, you know, the all-popular Dimir Inverter to answer, because they're, you know, they're 3 or 4 CMC, which makes them tough to hit with push.
Exactly.
So is that what you're kind of saying, is that probably the mono-red deck is a little better against the blue-black Inverter decks, but for me, when I've seen the red-white burn, I think that what's stronger there is some of your sideboard options. You know, they can play the Chain to the Rocks, they can play some hate cards like Rest in Peace, some enchantment removal, so that gives them a lot more game against things like Uro decks, against things like Lotus Breach if you've got Rest in Peace. So maybe a little bit more options from the sideboard, although less powerful main board and less powerful against the Lotus deck. Or not the Lotus deck, the Blueback Inverter deck.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that the sideboard options, because of course you're in two colors, so you're going to have more diverse options there, but I just feel like overall the deck is just not quite powerful enough anymore. And you know, okay, with the mono red deck, you definitely have a much more linear and focused game plan over the course of the three games. And but even then, I feel like mono red doesn't see a lot of play, because it does still struggle against Inverter, because, well, especially now that Eliminate has been printed, that you can, you know, trade up on mana when you're answering their three drop threats. But from what I understand, why people wanted to play mono red was it was just overall more powerful than the Lurrus burn deck post nerf.
Now, quick question, kind of a follow up. If we do think that the blue black inverter deck is particularly bad for the red white version, if something happens that bans out just that deck from the format, so if Dimir Inverter disappears on Monday and nothing else changes, does that make one of these better or worse than the other? Does that make red-white burn better to look at, or is it still, you think, mono-red's just slightly
more
powerful?
It depends, right? Because if say they literally just ban Inverter of Truths, which I think will be a mistake, because it will basically give Lotus Breach I would say a more powerful position than Dimir Inverter currently has in the metagame. I think they'll make Pioneer more like one deck dominated format than it is.
Monolithic.
Yeah, because I feel like in that point I would probably want to play the burn deck, because it has more ability to go under Breach, but even then the matchup can be quite tough depending on, you know, if Breach gets those explosive draws, it's very difficult to interact with it unless you have some sort of disruption or hand attack, you know?
I guess. I've really liked the Red White Burn into the Lotus Breach matchup because of those the sideboard Rest in Pieces, and also they usually run, you know, they can run Eidolon and Ash Shallot in the main.
I think I would want to play Burn over Mono Red if that does happen, you know, if Inverter does get the ban. Like I said, like we discussed, it can go under, and it does have more versatile sideboard options for matchups like Lotus Breach.
We can talk a little bit more about the bannings later.
Yes.
Yeah. Just bring it up because it's relevant to that conversation.
So let's save the rest. Right. Let's move into M21 if that's okay with you guys. Yeah. I'm interested.
Definitely, yeah.
So, yeah, you've been playing some stuff on MTGO. I've been following you on Twitter, and you said, you know, there's been a few that... there's been quite a few that have fired, so... tell us about your kind of first impressions on this new M21 meta, Harry.
Sure.
So, like, what kind of cards have you seen show up so far?
So, I think the big one is definitely Eliminate or Inverter, but also for any kind of black deck. Eliminate has been a very strong addition, basically because a lot of Inverter's problematic answers are on turn three. So when we discussed the mono black vampires, Sorin was a very difficult, problematic threat to deal with. And from the mono white side, you know, landing a Gideon of the Trials turn three can be quite difficult. You don't want to run too many copies of Hero's Downfall in your deck because it's just not very good on your curve. It's quite a clunky removal spell. Having access to Eliminate also helps you profitably deal with Nartet and Teferi Time Raveler if you wish to deal with that card as well. So this has been a very strong inclusion to Dimir Inverter as a whole. I think, if I'm being honest, I think M21 hasn't been explored quite as much as I would have thought. I think there's definitely some sleeper cards. I managed to get a 5-0 with my take on Aspiring Spikes blue-green Reclamation deck, where you're playing Sublime Epiphany, you're playing Torrential Gearhog. I played Jor-El in the board because you had a lot of card draw in terms of, you know, sense. You had 4 Sensor, 4 Opt, 4 Growth Spiral. I was playing 3 copies of Uro as well. So I wanted to really see how that card performed because it's very good against control decks because it's kind of like Young Pyromancer in a way where if you don't deal with it in the first couple of turns, it can snowball and take over the game. And it's also good against aggro because it's just turning out 2/2s every time you draw your second card in any turn. So I'm really...
That's definitely a really cool card, and I think it's one that we probably... I feel like I overlooked looking at M21, but it's an effect that hasn't really been in green, where, you know, a lot of green 2 mono creatures, you take care of them, they're gone. This is one that you really do have to answer right away, or it keeps building value, and we haven't gotten to see that.
Yeah, green's just taken over the color pie. Like, first they start drawing cards, now they start making extra bodies, you know, it's getting quite crazy. I thought they were going to nerf green, but I was proven wrong. But yeah, like I really like this card. Teferi, Master of Time, another one. I included it in the blue green Reclamation deck. I like it. It feels like Wizards have actually listened and printed more balanced planeswalkers, because I think M20, they printed a lot of very powerful planeswalkers that immediately impacted Standard anyway, and Pioneer, you know, the Vivian Archbow Ranger, Chandra, the 6-mana Chandra, but the planeswalkers in this set feel a lot more balanced. But Eddie's instant loyalty abilities has been really, really interesting and really fun to play. Yeah, so I think there's a lot more to be explored. Another card that has caught my eye is Lofty Denial. I've seen a lot of Blue White Spirit seeing a bit of a resurgence, predominantly.
Hey, before you run away from this, I just noticed, I was looking up, I saw some blue green decks on, I think MTG Goldfish. I was kind of following along. I was like, yeah, I see every single card you're talking about. I'm like, oh, that's because it's Harry 13th, the other person here. Although there is also another person from yesterday got a 5-0 with the exact same list, same
Oh,
75.
nice. Nice.
So you got a copycat. Just wanted to shout that out before we
No,
move
that's
on.
cool. That's cool. The reason why I stopped playing the deck is unfortunately on MTGO, any card, predominantly instants and sorceries that give you any number of options to choose from. So like Casualties of War and Sublime Epiphany, they seem to be bugged where that by playing them in your 75, it lags the game. So I didn't want to
Okay.
play it because I don't like the idea of, giving my opponent a bad experience for, a card choice that I've made that, I can play something else. But it was quite frustrating because I enjoyed playing the deck. I actually managed to beat a few aggressive strategies with it, which took me by surprise, but that was a massive help from Joriel. Considering playing another 75 where I have Joriel main, because I think the card's just that powerful. It just gives you any card that can single-handedly give you another access to win is definitely worth looking at when constructing your main 60 card deck. But yes, so Lofty Denial is another one. I've seen a lot of Blue White Spirits, and it's been a very powerful effect. It's essentially mana leak, better than mana leak for spirits. So it's definitely a very strong counterspell. Other ones that I'm kind of looking at is Miscast, although unfortunately I think Miscast falls under the same category as Mystical Disputes because predominantly you're bringing in those kind of removal spells for blue matches, counter spells. So yeah, those are the main cards I've been looking at. Do you guys have any other cards in the set that you have strong opinions on or you're excited to play with?
What about you, Kevin? You've been testing a little bit,
Yeah,
right?
we've been brewing around. Yeah, I've been brewing a little less than I'd like to normally, but at this point, it's been a busy month and a half for me. Some things here and there, but yeah, nothing that's been. If even I'm just looking at deck types, I haven't found any, decks that are really taking over the format. I'd love to know if you've seen anything when you've been, just playing with randoms, playing in leagues, anything big that's like, oh, this is a new deck and it has a place, because I haven't seen something that stands out to me like, yep, that's what's gonna. That at least gets a niche in the format, gets something that really changes. So far, it's felt a little bit same, and I think that other people are feeling that too. I think that's why we've seen some sets not firing or some events not firing, and I think that is why we're expecting something to change with this ban list on Monday.
I have seen some people playing Dredge with the new Silver Smoke Ghoul.
Yes.
So the one with Uro and stuff like that in there as well, like getting Uro back and then getting this back and then you get your prized amalgam back.
Yeah, if we're going individual cards, I think that's also shown up in some of the vampires lists I've
Yeah,
seen.
so that's interesting.
Yeah, I think the main deck that's kind of came out of the woodwork was the Naya Winota deck. Have you guys had a chance to play it, or have you played against it?
Oh yeah, I mean we've been raving about that since before even the M21 came out. I think, yeah, I've been pretty strong on that deck. I think that it's even still a little underrated. I don't love all of the versions of it. I think that there's some versions that are way too all in, but until I can put my money where my mouth is and get some wins with it, I think that people will keep playing basically the exact 75 that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I think given that it's a core set as well, I didn't really expect it to make a massive impact. I didn't think it was going to be, archetype warping, creating new archetypes from the set itself. Is I think the general consensus was that the set as a whole was a little bit underpowered for the most part. There wasn't anything. Like we discussed, I felt like the Planeswalkers were well balanced. There were some nice new removal spells, and a couple of cool threats like Joriel. But for the most part, it's been I think I wouldn't even say an underpowered set. I think, you know, given the whirlwind that we've all been through since 2019 with some, you know, format warping cards in every set, you know, so it's a nice little change of pace as we brace ourselves for Zendikar Rising, which who knows what will come out then. Hopefully not more busted Eldrazi cards, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think it's a very fair set, like very reasonable.
I've already posted some stuff online. I want to see an Ankh of Mishra type effect on some cards.
No.
So we got to punish all these ramp decks.
Yeah, that's another talking point for my thoughts. If certain cards get banned on Monday, will we see you out?
You know, we can talk about that during the ban part. Yes. Then we can. Make a mental note. Yes. Of that. So yeah, we've talked about what you've been playing already, and you know, we've talked about what cards you've seen. Let's kind of segue this into maybe you haven't seen these cards yet, but you think they're still good, they still have potential, and because it's early we're not seeing them, but maybe you expect to see them later on. So what other M21 cards do you think we will see in Pioneer during this season?
I think we will.
Is that too much?
No, I think some of the 4-mana planeswalkers we will definitely see. I would be surprised if Garruk doesn't make its presence known in the format. I think that card is pretty strong. Potentially Liliana as well, and Bajri Ket. There's a few cards that are kind of hard to evaluate. That I could see being played in certain decks or in sideboards, you know, that might react to certain meta shifts. As I said before, Joriel, I think I have been the only mm-hmm. person that has played that in Pioneer from what I've seen, from like lists I've seen, and it was in the sideboard. I definitely think Joriel has got to make an impact at some point. You know, there's got to be a shell, like a blue-green or blue-green X shell that can really take advantage of its potential. And
thinking
yeah,
about it right now.
there's a lot to be, you know, there's a lot of potential. I mean, yeah, like if only Naya Winota had card draw, but yeah.
What about banned humans?
Yeah, potentially. So humans, I always feel like humans is not far away from being a general powerful archetype in Pioneer. It always seems like it's a couple of cards short. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, I could even see Joriel being played in Sultai Delirium. I think there's potential there as well. With, you know, Baby Jace.
Yeah, you know, Jace would trigger at Uro. Yeah.
Yeah, so Watch this space for Joriel. I think we will see the card make an impact very soon.
Yeah, I'm kind of still surprised that you don't see a lot of new red cards. I know a lot of people are kind of excited about some of the red stuff, like Terror of the Peaks, but or Gadrek, this Crown Scourge. I thought I saw Gadrek show up in some Pioneer list. Am I wrong?
I think, is that the 2-mana Prowess Sacrifice?
No. It's the 3-mana 5/4 flying dragon.
Oh, okay. So I'm not too sure about that one. It's a build around, and I think build around cards for, you know, generally just general powerful bodies tend not to see as much play as you would like. As with regards to Terror of the Peaks, I think it's just one of those cards that's just competing with. I mean, you could argue that Glorybringer is more powerful, right? Like Glorybringer has an immediate impact on the board. Yeah. It's kind of like, it reminds me of Thunderbreak Regent, where, you know, it was this 4/4 flyer for 4. If you target it, it deals 3 damage, and everyone at the time thought, wow, this card's very powerful. But then they print cards like Rekindling Phoenix, and you're like, well, that card's just a lot better. And I think Terror of the Peaks is basically Thunderbreak Regent to Rekindling Phoenix as it is to Glorybringer. I think Glorybringer is going to be the dominant 5-mana 4/4 dragon for the foreseeable future.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of powerful cards in M21, but I, like, when we were doing our set review, we were really kind of struggling with, like, where is this going to fit? So that's why I kind of wanted to ask you if you were excited about anything that hasn't seen play yet.
Yeah.
Maybe Archfiend's Vessel is one I'm thinking of that I feel like it's got to see some play somewhere.
Like in Rally of the Ancestors?
Maybe, something like that.
Yeah, the one mana get a 5/5 when it comes back from the graveyard, that's spicy.
Yeah, it's definitely, that's another card I definitely think, you know, is close to being played and played often. It just needs the right shell or someone to work on it. And that's another thing about Pioneer. I think, like, you know, as soon as paper tournaments come back, like GPs, Magic Fest and stuff like that, as soon as they have big events that are for Pioneer, then we might see a bit more innovation, because I think we're currently, before the bans on Monday, are on the if it ain't broke, why fix it format. And I think people have kind of done that because, you know, Inverter is... And I think Inverter's, it's not like it's that much better than the rest, just a little bit better than every other deck by small percentages.
And all the pro players, all the competitive players... Sorry, I was going to say all the competitive players, they always go for something that'll give them that 0.5% edge, yes, or that 3% edge.
Yes. And I think Inverter has 1%, maybe 2% over the rest max. I know that myself and the second place person in the leaderboard in the Pioneer Leagues were both on Inverter. And that might just be because the deck can win quickly. But it's definitely it's definitely not an easy deck to play, and you definitely lose to your own yourself a lot of the time. It's definitely, I definitely don't feel like when I'm playing it at all, this is much better than everything my opponents have been playing against me. But I think people just think it's a little bit stronger than the other decks in the format, and that's why people have defaulted to, you know, not innovating as much and just playing the same decks.
I don't know. I mean, I had one more topic I wanted to talk about. I don't know if you guys had anything you wanted to cover about the M21 season so far. But
I mean, I want to talk bands. Let's talk bands.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. And this I actually wanted to mix two things together. I wanted to ask what you expect from the rest of the M21 season, but we kind of have to talk about bands first, I guess. Like, so maybe if you guys don't mind, like, we can say, what do you think will happen on Monday? And then, how will this affect the format going forward? Does that sound good?
That sounds good.
Can you guys talk about that? So you want to talk bans,
yes,
Kevin?
Yeah, let's talk bans. So do you want us to do kind of a prediction first? Because I feel like my prediction is different from what I would like to see, but...
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, you can predict... I mean, people have already been speculating online on what's going to be banned. We know that it's going to happen in Standard, it's going to happen in Historic, it's going to happen in Pioneer, and Pauper, I believe, and Modern?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Standard. It's, no.
I don't think Standard. Yeah,
not that's Standard, yeah.
It's Pauper.
But it's mini format. So that means maybe it's possibly some same card that's in all formats. I don't know. What do you guys think?
No, not at all.
No. Thank you.
All right, so we're going to focus just on Pioneer.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do. I think, so what I would like to see, I think I'm on the train where I would like to see Inverter, nothing else, see where things shake out from there. It sounds like, I know you were saying right away that you're not on the same page.
No,
with that,
definitely Aaron. Not. I think that will make a more imbalanced format, in my opinion. And I'll give you my reasons. I basically think that Inverter and Lotus Breach have the same effect on the format, which prevents certain archetypes from being played. I think it's very difficult to play general mid-range strategies in the format when you have you know, the combo control decks that will just destroy you if you try. I think they will ban three cards. I think they will ban Dig Through Time, Inverter, and Lotus Field. What I would like to see I want to see quite a lot of bans and potential unbans as well. So I would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and once we started playing Pioneer, did you guys have the same impressions when you were like, wait, Extra Time Treasure Crews aren't banned? What? Like, this is insane. So I think I would like to see Treasure Cruise banned, Every Time banned, Lotus Field banned, Inverter of Truths banned, Underworld Breach banned, and I would like to see Oath of Nyssa unbanned, maybe Smuggler's Copter unbanned. But definitely
big words.
Yeah, I definitely want Oath of Nyssa unbanned. But those five cards that I mentioned, I would like to see go. I might actually want to see Uro go as well, because I feel like Uro just creates such banal gameplay. Like, I just find it's just another one of those cards. It's like Opal Light. It's kind of like this card's just, you know, it's just always going to be the best thing you can do on your turn. Like, even if, you know, it's turn six and you've got a six drop in your hand, you're just like, I'm going to escape Uro because that's just better than anything else I should be doing. And it's just, I just find the gameplay rather boring. Treasure Cruise and Dig for Time are kind of obvious ones in the sense that they're inherently undercosted and their effects are just so powerful. Narset helps keep Treasure Cruise in check, but even with Narset, I still think Treasure Cruise is a card that will create problematic gameplay. Dig for Time, I just think, is too good for Magic. It shouldn't be in the format. Inverter of Truths, I think you could, even if you banned Dig for Time and Treasure Cruise, there could be arguments to not ban Inverter of Truths, but I reckon it'd be only a matter of time before, you know, people took to cards like Frantic Inventory or some other like draw spell that, you know, makes a deck almost as good.
Even just Uro.
Exactly. Right. You could just play, you know, Sultai Inverter. Lotus Field, again, if they ban Inverter and not Breach, Breach just takes over the reins of being like, you know, the ultimate boogie deck of the format. You know, it just it punishes players for trying to play a certain strategy, and I think it's a little bit too consistent.
But I thought that it was easier to hate out with cards like Damping Sphere. I know they have removal for it.
That's where I really want to go with it. So you know, this is kind of funny. We bring a blue-black inverter player onto our show, and he says, oh, you can ban Treasure Cruise and Dig, but you don't even need to ban Inverter, but let's ban Breach and Lotus Field. As far as, I think, the major point there, you know, I'm looking at the format, and I'm seeing a lot of aggro decks that can go under Inverter while disrupting it. So things that have the Thought Seizes, things that have, you know, counter spells like the Spirits decks. Maybe red is the one that can actually just straight up get under it, although it's got a few things that are disruptive. And then maybe you've got control, and that's about it, because that's all that can really interact with Inverter. So you're saying that it's Inverter and it's Breach doing that, but I feel like I could play a mid-range deck and just throw, you know, four Damping Spheres in the sideboard and I'm going to have a good Breach matchup. Or, you know, I could play like a slower combo deck, something, or like a ramp deck, something that's not in the format right now, really because of Inverter. I feel like you could still build that to have a Breach matchup that's okay. And I don't feel the same way about Inverter. So that's why I think that's the one deck that really needs to go. Although right away I would say that the ones I'd be worried about watching after that would be Breach and would be Azorius Control, just with no Inverter in the format.
Yeah, and I think if they banned both Inverter and Breach, I would be signing myself up for 3-hour plus leagues grinding blue-white control, because the only reason I used to play a lot of blue-white control back in January, and that was when Lotus Field, it was played before Breach in a kind of, you know, expansion explosion kind of deck, but that was when it kind of took a bit of a nosedive. And people didn't really see the true potential of Underworld Breach probably like a month after it was printed. So I played a lot of blue-white control then, because both Inverter and Breach weren't really heavily played in the format. They were only just being experimented with at the time. And yes, I think if both Inverter and Breach leave, then Blue White Control is a very powerful strategy, given the upgrades with Shark Typhoon as well, to give you that almost like you can play a flash game and you have a very fast win con in terms of like large shark tokens. But yeah, I think
so. They've done it before where they'll ban something from the best deck, something from the other best deck, and then something from the third best deck in order to make it not overpowered. You know, like when they banned Reflector Mage, Blue-White wasn't a dominant deck, but they knew that if they banned the other two good decks, that it would be. So is there something they could ban, like if they banned Inverter plus Breach plus... I don't want to say Teferi, because that's a whole other topic I almost want to say. But
I think Dig Through Time. I think Dig Through Time and Treasure Cruise.
Dig Through Time would...
Because I think... Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, there was people trying to play Blue White without Dig Through Time, and I just thought they were crazy. Like, I just think you're playing Azorius Charms, you're playing Ops. You know, why on earth you're playing cycling enchantments? Why on earth are you not taking advantage of your graveyard filling up by playing one of the best draw spells ever printed? You know, mm-hmm. and it's So I really did not understand when I seen people play Max Elspeth Conquers Deaths and stuff like that, and you know, with Yorion and no Dig Through Times, it just baffled me. So yeah, I definitely think the deck is not as powerful without having access to the ultimate draw spell that is Dig Through Time. And also once like those two decks, Inverter and Breach, leave, then the Blue White Control deck can also fall prey to ramp. Like, ramp is non-existent in Pioneer at the moment, and that's because it has an awful Inverter matchup, and I think it has an awful Breach matchup as well. Yep. Because they just they cannot do anything.
It's like a turn too late.
Yes, they cannot really do anything.
And I think mid range as well. You know, currently mid range just doesn't have a chance. But if the current build of Esper, especially if they lost something like Dig Through Time, if you're going to play a Tireless Tracker and then a Fabled Passage right away, that's super hard for Blue White to get back from when they're trying to one for one.
Yes, so I managed, when I played Blue White in Brussels, I managed to beat the Sultai Delirium deck because after the Emrah killed me, they realized I had Approach from the Second Sun in my deck, and they couldn't beat me fast enough. I managed to cast it twice without any responses, so I had to play a copy of Approach to really deal. And it same applied for Five Color Niv. I had to play Approach there because I felt like I was getting slowly outgrounded by the Five Color Niv decks unless I had an immediate win con, such as Approach from the Second Sun. But I think Sultai Delirium is it's quite a tricky matchup for Blue White. And the same with Blue White Ramp. That's also so. I think the metagame, you know, decks like Blue White Control would be put in their place by more powerful mid range strategies and ramp strategies. Because with Sultai Delirium, okay, like Emrakul, the Promised End is like the ultimate control win con in a mid range deck. So.
So outside of that, if we see some of these bans that take out the big decks, are there any other existing decks that you fear would be a little too dominant? Like, are we worried at all about White Devotion? Are we worried at all about, Winota? Are we worried at all about Sultai Delirium? Do any of those need to be taken down and pegged
at
the same time?
No, I don't think so personally, because from experience of playing Mono White Devotion, it has an awful control matchup. Same with Winota. I mean, yes, if they get very strong draws on the play, if they win the dice roll, then the Blue-White Control matchup is definitely winnable, but I always feel quite confident from the Blue-White Control side again. However, Sultai Delirium, you know, it's got a good control matchup, but I feel like the deck would fall prey to blue-green ramp strategies. So there's definitely decks to keep all these potential strategies in check. And, you know, I don't know. Like, I cannot predict the perfect metagame, you know, but I feel like there theoretically would be decks in check, decks to keep other potential problematic strategies in check. As I said, Breach is a deck I have issues with. For the reason also that it's just a miserable deck to play against. It reminds me of like Nexus of Fate and a lot of the reasons why that card was
except banned. It ends games lots faster.
Yes, but the whole the idea of a kind of goldfish style strategy is kind of something that I generally don't like being in the game, but that's a personal preference.
So I wanted to quickly kind of comment on the Dig Through Time banning. Like, you were saying that and Treasure Cruise. I don't think Treasure Cruise is really the problem. The sorcery speed, you get three cards. Yes, that's great. But then you'd have to get rid of Uro because he's also getting you, like, two cards, basically. You know, once when you play him and once when you escape him. And, like, the problem with Dig Through Time is instant speed and you just get to see seven cards. You get to see so many cards and then put those away. That choice is what makes it so broken for control, for inverter, for Lotus Breach. I think you get rid of that, you throw more of the luck back into the swing. Sorry, you throw luck back into the, what's what we're looking to say, into the equation. You know, if you're just drawing three random cards, it's less powerful than two of your best cards out of seven.
Yeah, I definitely.
So, yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, sorry. Have to cut you off there.
No, that's okay. No, I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree, you know, if we were to choose between the two cards strictly, then yes, Dig Through Time is the more problematic card. But that doesn't really take away the fact that Treasure Cruise is an inherently under-costed card with like a very strong effect for, you know, the investment. I also advocate for banning Uro as well. Like, I personally think that Uro is a design mistake as well. Like, I don't think it's as obvious as Oko, but I think the card is, it's just too good for the cost. Like, you know, draw a card, gain three life, and ramp for three mana is powerful at its own rate, but also the relatively easy buyback option on the flip side of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get that effect again. If basically with Uro, if you escape it on tap, pretty much you're very highly favored to win the game, you know, and it's just for such little investment, I just think the card is a bit too powerful, and I don't like the design of it. I think Kropsa is the only one that I would say is like
that's fair.
Yes.
Well, what about instead they can ban Uro in every other format so that it's actually affordable to play Pioneer?
Yeah, I mean, that would be nice.
I did want to see, we've been talking about, you know, we want to ban out the Inverter deck, and we've been saying ban the card Inverter of Truth, but what about the other way to go about it would be to ban either Thassa's Oracle or Jace, which also would mildly affect Lotus Breach. You know, I think that probably the better one there is to ban Thassa's Oracle. I don't feel like that hurts Lotus Breach too much. You know, they currently usually do run one main deck so that it's findable, but they could still run a Jace in the sideboard, and I think that's reasonable.
I think the issue you have with that is you're basically not future-proofing the format, because I think, like, there will inevitably be more cards that have you benefit if you have X or less cards in your deck. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, Inverter is the enabler for that kind of strategy. I think, like, Thassa's Oracle and Jace, Wielder of Mysteries are perfectly fair cards in terms of, you know, if you're playing a fair mill game, then that's perfectly fine. But I think with Inverter is it just makes it too easy to enable those kind of win cons.
I think I agree with that. I think that's why I said I would like to see Inverter banned, but I do feel like Wizards is more likely to ban the Thassa's Oracle. That's what I was probably going to say is my prediction is probably Thassa's Oracle and maybe Dig Through Time. And then I wouldn't mind seeing something from Lotus Breach. You know, I almost, you know, if you're taking away one thing from Inverter, maybe take away, like, you know, just something else from Lotus Breach. Maybe take away Lotus Breach but leave the Lotus Field. Or not what's the in breach Underworld Breach, but leave Lotus Field, something
Thespian
like that.
Thespian Stage, maybe?
Yeah, Thespian Stage would be a cool one. I don't think that Wizards does things like that, where they would ban Thespian Stage only, but that would definitely slow the deck down to a much better level.
The thing that makes Inverter, what from my experience that I've felt like makes Inverter such a powerful strategy is the blue-black control element of the deck is what you play for most of the game. So taking away Thassa's Oracle, I think you could still play that kind of strategy to a very good effect. Like, I find that, for example, like in the mirror, I board out all my combo pieces because the blue-black control strategy there is much more powerful than the combo strategy. And the same applies for a lot of matchups, like mono-white devotion and mono-black, is you kind of manipulate your card choices in a way to get around their cranial extraction effects, and just upticking with Jace alone a lot of the time is powerful enough. So I feel like,
I mean, frankly, I'd love to see that kind of deck. I, you know, throw a Scarab God and some Languishes into there instead of the combo pieces. Mm-hmm. I would be very down to see that in the format. I don't think that's going to be a problem if that exists.
Yeah,
in the
and
format.
I can agree with that. It's a tough one, right? And I definitely agree with what you're saying. Is, you know, they could ban Thassa's Oracle, which would kill two birds with one stone, maybe. But I just think.
And I was even saying, I was saying Thassa's Oracle plus Dig. That would really hit from both angles.
I think what really makes Inverter tick is it's the best dig through time shell. It's got the most, it's got the best way to abuse dig through time, and that's ultimately what the deck is. It's a dig through time control deck with the combo finish. And once you realize that's what the strategy is, you can, you know, adapt your sideboard strategy accordingly. And it's when people get too fixated on the combo itself, is, you know, they fall prey to the other axis, the other ways that the deck can win out with the combo. And that's what's made the deck.
So I guess we can all agree that it's going to be a blue card.
Yes.
Probably.
It could
be
blue. Yeah.
Okay. Or, sorry, blue or black.
That's not black.
It's colorless, yes. There we go.
Yes, there we go.
So, I mean, we talked about bans, I think, in depth here. So how about what's going to happen afterwards? We didn't really talk about that so much. If these bans do happen, you know, what do you expect from the rest of the M21 season? How is this going to shake things up? We talked a little bit about it, but let's kind of go in a little bit deeper.
It's really hard to say on top of what the existing decks are, because anything that's big and new that can really fill that void as a combo deck or fill that void as a mid-range deck, you know, which just didn't exist, you know, a ramp deck, anything like that would really shake up the format quite a bit. You know, the same kind of decks. You know, if you're playing something like Bant Spirits right now because it's disruptive aggro, that's not going to do good against a deck that can drop out 5 drops on turn 3, turn 4, you know. So it's really going to be a very different kind of format, and I think it's very hard to say what's going to be good, but I'll definitely be brewing. You know, as soon as this happens, I'll be tweeting out what the bans are, and we'll also, you know, we'll be brewing right away. I'll be going into the tank and seeing what old decks I can bring back with a new light.
I think I would be very surprised if Ramp did not make a comeback. I mean, we've got Azusa Lost but Seeking in the format now, so that card is very exploitable.
I thought it was good too, and everyone else is like, no, it's not good.
I think it's, I mean, when you have that card in combination with, is it Nissa's Pilgrimage and stuff like that? I think,
and also Cultivate.
Cultivate, yeah. So I think I definitely would be very surprised if we didn't see a blue-green ramp strategy return. I would like to see the return of decks like Mono Green. I feel like Mono Green died a death. As a Korea was printed.
Stompy deck?
Yes, but also kind of like, yeah, Stompy deck, I would say, yeah. I would like to see a resurgence.
Or the Planeswalker deck.
Yeah, or another like collected company deck. Like, the only one we ever seen was
Humans?
Potentially Humans, or just like a kind of value company deck. Like, I was trying to work out if there was just like, you know, a Bant company deck, like the ones we saw in Dragon Standard, like something like that. Like, I love, that was probably one of my favorite standard decks of all time from my personal experience, and I'd like to, you know, relive those days of playing just a value collected company deck. You know, that's like that's a very mid-range style of strategy that I love to play.
There's a lot
of... I was with you on those, and you know, it did struggle because it couldn't, it has no disruption for combo decks.
And that's the main issue, is you don't have anything that can stop the Inverter or the Breach.
Spellqueller.
Yeah.
Spellqueller counters Inverter, and it counters Jace and everything else in the deck.
The issue is they have access to hand attack. Like, you know, if there was no hand attack, it's a lot easier, but the fact that you're playing Thought Seize and Thought Erasure and all these cards is you're really having like small windows of opportunity if you're relying on four cards in your entire deck to disrupt the combo, you know, especially given all the hand attack. Like, very few inverter players will combo off if the coast isn't clear, you know.
So yeah, I agree with you guys as well. I don't think we're going to see a lot of new decks. I think what we're going to see is kind of a return to some of those older decks that were playable before, but they just kind of got hated out. We get rid of maybe two decks, like, for example, Breach and, you know, Lotus Field, and then I feel maybe we'll get like five or six decks back. So that should, I think we'll have a more varied meta game towards the end of M21 with a lot more rock, paper, and scissor decks.
Hopefully, yeah. But anyways, we'll definitely be tweeting out as soon as we hear some news on Monday. If you guys want, we're kind of going to wrap up our show here. You can reach me. I'll be tweeting out about it. I'll be posting my brews right away. I'm at MTG Pioneer on Twitter, which is kind of the Pioneer, the Twitter for this podcast.
Yeah. And Harry, do you want to give any shout outs or promote anything in today's show?
Nothing to promote today. If any of the listeners would like to, you know, follow what I have to say in the format and follow my latest deck lists in Pioneer, then you can get to me on Twitter at MartinPorter13.
Okay. And, of course, you guys can find me on Twitter as well, at YoSchwenky, YoSchwenky. And, of course, we have our Discord channel that you guys can jump into at any time and comment on, you know, that week's show. So please join. Please explore with us.
Yeah, or just tell us what you're thinking, because we love to hear from you guys. We love to have our guests on the show. So thank you again, Martin, or Harry, whichever you go by. We really appreciate having your insight. You know, we like to have the grinder, the real upfront view, especially when, you know, not as many events have been firing as we'd like to see. So it's been hard to just look at what's been going on in the format. You know, it's hard to have a feel for what's really going on if you can't say, yes, blue-white is definitely favored against spirits, or, you know, whatever the matchups are. It's nice to have the raw data, even when looking at bans, to say, hey, if this is gone, here's how the decks left compare against each other. So really glad to have you here. I hope you enjoyed your time, and we will probably bring you back soon. But for everyone else out there, we are the First Pioneers Podcast. We are your go-to source for Pioneer information online.